tell you, when they were singing that song, I thought of a song that Meredith sang here a couple of Sunday nights ago, and I think the name of it was Our Savior. I can't remember the name of it. Do you have that this morning? If you don't, that's okay. I normally don't put people on the spot, but I tell you, that song has just been resonating with me for some time now. And if you don't have it, that's okay. If you do, well, then sing it. Amen. Be kind enough to sing it for us. How about that? Somebody said, well, that preacher's mean to that girl. I've been more than mean to her. That's my daughter. So don't get nervous. Thank you, Meredith. Thank you so much, Emily. Let's worship the Lord in this one last song, and then we'll get right into the preaching of God's word, if it be the will of the Lord. All right?
A Savior, a friend forever, the lover of my soul. Through every trial, He won't forsake me. I'll never be alone.
Right now, that'll get something churning on the inside. Amen. Yeah, that gets down deep. Amen. In that area where God lives. Amen. In my soul. That's that witness. That Spirit of God bearing witness with my spirit. That's real stuff right there, brother. Amen. I hope you know what I'm talking about. I hope that you do. If you've ever been born again by the Spirit of God and you hear something like that, really all that we've heard today. Every song that we've heard today has been a blessing from heaven. A blessing from God. Just reminding us how precious our Redeemer is. How loving our Savior is. And how that if God were to leave us to ourselves, we'd be in a fix, brother. But I sure am glad that he didn't, amen. I sure am thankful that he didn't. God came running after us, amen. Pursued me, amen. You think about that for a moment. The God of heaven pursued you. And that's good for what ails you this morning. Now, listen, I'm not saying that we live our life by emotion. But you get to thinking about that, and that'll rear up some emotion in you. Now, we live by faith. But my faith has a feeling. That's right. And I sure am glad that I can feel when God is in the house. And this morning, I sense his presence. How about you? Amen. Well, I'm going to try to preach a little bit. I got to tell you, it's going to be a little difficult after that. You say, well, you're all worked up now. I know, but listen, it's hard to concentrate when God gets in. You say, well, it shouldn't be that way. Well, let me explain something to you. When God moves in, it just, a lot of emotions start, you know, just, you get happy, you get sad, you get humble. You just want to. You want to jump up high. You want to put your face down to the floor. You just want to, it's hard to know. I mean, it's something. God is with us. And I'm thankful that he is. Now, God's given us his word, and I want to try to bring the truth to you today from his word. We've been studying in the 73rd Psalm, and there's a truth that I want to bring to you. As this psalmist closes out, as far as I know, that we'll close out the psalm today, Psalm 73. And I want to say before you and before God of heaven, I want to say that I sure am thankful that God allowed this experience to be recorded in his word. Over the years, I've gotten so much help from Psalm 73. You know, this is part of those experiential books, Job and Psalms and Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, the Song of Solomon. These are those experiential books where people, for the most part, God is using their experiences to show how he works in the life of man. How that God is at work in the life of people, his creation. And I'm thankful that God is at work in our lives. I'm grateful to God that he just doesn't leave us to ourselves, aren't you? Could you imagine? You know, sometimes God will leave a people to themselves. And I think we have seen the result of what happens when people, that they say, God, get out of here. God, get out of our schools. God, get out of our government. God, get out of our churches. God, get out of our lives. Just leave us alone. I think we have seen the result of God honoring that. You look at our world today. It is in an absolute free fall. Chaos on every hand. People, no appreciation, no sanctity of life. Violence is filling our earth. What do you think is happening? I'll tell you what's happening. God is moving his hand back. And when the more people shout, God, leave us alone, the more God says, okay. Okay. But I sure am glad for a group of people that's praying, God, don't leave us alone. God, don't leave us to ourselves. God, draw our country back. Draw people back to you, Lord. Don't let us drift. And that's what these last two verses of Psalm 73 is about. It's about drifting and drawing. And I want to read them again to you, and I hope you'll follow along because these are, listen, in the final analysis, and I want you to hear me this morning. This psalmist came to the final analysis of what life is like. You remember the story. He started out in verse number 1. He said, I want to tell you, God is good. You remember that in verse number 1 of Psalm 73? He said, truly, God is good to Israel. God's good to his people. Now, he is. Even to such as are a clean heart. Then he said in verse number 2, but as for me, he said, I was struggling. I was struggling in the time past. He said, now right now I can say God is good. That's present tense. He said, but there's a time I wasn't ready to say that. And he told us about this experience he had in life where he was really struggling. And I'm glad God said, I want you to write that down, because there's some people in the future that's going to need to hear this. And so please don't you think that this man came to the resolution that he makes in verse number 27 and 28 and eventually the position that he takes in verse number 1 by just jumping up and saying, you know what, I think I'll just change. It's a process. And I think that we live in such a microwave, such a ready-made society that people think they can just turn God on and turn God off and just do what they wish without consequence. But that's just not the way it is. And so this man followed the progress. He followed the plan. He followed the leading of God in his life. And through this process, it brought him to this resolution in verse 27 and 28. Let's read it again. I want you to follow with me now. He said, for lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. Now here's his new resolution. He said, I have summed this thing up. I have seen God work. And in the final analysis, I've come to this conclusion. There's two places to be in this thing we call life. And there's two places to be in this thing called death. And there's two places to be in this thing called eternity. You're either far from God or you're near to Him. Don't fool yourself in believing you're anywhere else. Amen. And he said, in verse number 27, he used the word they. He said, they are far from thee. They that are far from thee. He said in verse 28, but it is good for me to draw near. And he said, while others may choose to be far. And he said, I visited that land, didn't like it. Got there. Not a good place to be. And he said, while I was far away, I realized, let me get on back close to God where I need to be. That's the place for me. That is what's good for me. I need to be near to God. And I want to say with the psalmist Asaph, I need to be near to God. Can you say in your heart and mean it, that you need to be near to God? It is good for you to be near to God. It is not good to be any other place. And the only other place, it's given right here. There's only two positions. You're either near to God and drawing nearer, or you're far from God and drifting farther. Amen. You say, well, preacher, I'm near, but I want to get nearer. You can. You can continue. Listen, this thing when he said it's good for me to be near, it doesn't mean that he's as near as he wants to be. It just means that he's near and he's desiring to be nearer. You're either far or you're near. I can't answer that for you. Listen, I got to keep up with me. Hey, man, I'm responsible for me. You're responsible for you. But we're all responsible to God. And so I'm just going to ask you this morning a plain, simple question. Where are you in this equation? Where are you in this position? Are you far from God? Now, you know. You don't need no preacher. Listen, you don't need me telling you if you're near or far from God. The Spirit of God will tell you, are you far from God? Or are you near to God? I got to tell you about this thing about being far from God. It's not a good position to be in. As a matter of fact, look what he said here in verse number 27. This is the inspired, infallible Word of God speaking. He said in verse number 27, lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. And he said, thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. Now I want you to underline the word hast in your Bible. He didn't say thou shalt destroy them. Now I want to tell you, all those that die without Christ shall be destroyed. They shall perish. But he said, God's done it before. Do you see what the psalmist is saying? He's saying that the days of Noah were not a fluke. The days of Sodom is not a fairy tale. The psalmist is saying what God has said he means. God is not going to change his word for a new generation. God is still holding man accountable. That's what he's saying, brethren. God is holding man accountable. God's word shall endure forever. Every word that is recorded in this book, man will answer to.
Amen.
I'm going to stand before God and give an account for my life before him. And so he said, if you're far and you're drifting, he said, take some advice. Get near. Get near. Why, psalmist? Look at verse 18. He says, surely thou didst. Again, we have a past present tense here. Not thou are going to set them in slippery places. Thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation? As in a moment they are utterly consumed with terrors. He said, don't you mistake now. God is good. Verse number one. But he said, there's a side of God you need to know about too. God is holy. And God is not going to tolerate our rebellion and disobedience without consequence. I have absolutely no interest in a so-called gospel that leaves out hell. Amen. I have no interest, I have no time for some liberal theologian that tries to stand up and tell me, well, you know, finally, after a wait in purgatory or some testing period, everyone will end up in heaven. That's not in this book, brother. That's not in this book. Listen, the verse of Scripture that many have learned, as many has memorized as a child, the verse of Scripture that is beloved to many of folks who call themselves by the name of God, and even those who have never darkened the door of the church house of God, tells us there's a hell. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. You look that word up and it means to absolutely suffer inconsequentiable punishment for rejecting a holy God. And so I have no time, I have absolutely no interest in someone that tries to tell me that, well, you know, there's not consequences for drifting away from God and from getting away from God and for denying God and for rejecting God and for living life without God and denouncing God. Listen, that is a lie of the devil of hell himself. Don't you buy into it. And so he said, there's these two positions. He said, the one is being far from God. Now, I do believe that you can be saved and be far from God. That doesn't mean you're going to go to hell. It just means you can live your life and not experience the abundant life of Christ Jesus. Let me show what I'm talking about so we can move on and bring this to a close when we get to our final point here as far as getting near. I'm talking to you about being far from God. We have folks that are filling up our churches today that are far from God. We have folks that name the name of Christ that are far from God. There may be somebody in this building today that is far from God. I've been far from God. How about you? Don't want to visit that place again. Don't want to visit that far place. I thought about the far country. I don't want to go there. You know what I'm talking about, of the prodigal. Don't want to go there. I want to say with the psalmist Asaph, it is good for me to be near to God.
Amen.
And I'll get to that in just a moment, but I want to say this. You don't want to see your preacher far from God.
No.
And I don't want to see you far from God. The best version you'll ever be of yourself is when you are near to God.
Amen.
The very worst version you'll ever be of yourself is when you are far from God. Now, God never changes, but we do. And so I ask you one last time, where are you? Are you far from God? If you are, I want to tell you that the grace of God can reach the far country. The love of God, the compassion of God can reach where you are and minister to you right where you are. All right? He said in verse number 27, he said, "They that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee." You see, this man started out by saying, "I know God's good, but there was a time when I didn't believe that." He said, "I saw the prosperity of the wicked." We've been through this. Now, I'm going to tell you what it is. You may be here today, and I really want to help you. Because you're wondering, why am I feeling this way? Let me give you some things here. Look at verse 13, and let's just read this one more time before I close at verse 28. Because I've got some truths in 28 I want to give to you. But I don't want to leave this being far without you understanding something. See, people have this misnomer. They have this misunderstanding that, well, you know, I'm saved, and so life is good, and no problems, no trouble. I can live any way I want. There's no consequences. I don't have to answer to God. That's just not so. That's just not so. There's not a word of that in this book right here. And that doesn't matter if you're a teenager or a senior citizen. Amen. God has expectations of His children, of His people, whether you're 8 years old or 80. Somebody say amen with me. God has expectations of us. And somehow we've got to the place in our life, well, you know, and I just have to say this because it just bothers me that Christians are buying into this. Well, you know, when kids reach adolescent, they're going to do this and do that. Not without consequences. How you have your home set up. Well, when they get teenagers, they're going to do this. Not without consequences. How do you have your home set up? Don't teach your children that they can live any way they want without consequences. Amen. Let your children know there's consequences for their actions.
Sure.
Amen. Amen. Verse number 13 says this, says, "Verily I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency." Are you feeling that way? If you are, it's because you're far from God. See, this man was far from God. And he finally came to the resolution, I need to be near to God. It's good for me to be near to God. I don't want to go around every day, look at verse 14, feeling like I've been plagued and chastened every morning. I don't want to live my life that way. I don't want to live my life with a victim's mentality under the chastening hand and chastening rod of God. I don't want to live my life that way. I want to get under the spout where the blessing's coming out. Amen. I want to get in a place where God can bless me and I can sense His presence and I can know His love and I can feel His blessing and His hand on my life and I can hear His voice and I can follow His guidance as He navigates me. See, I want to get there. It's good for you to get there. And if you're here and you're not there, not fussing at you. Listen, if you're watching by live stream, not fussing, I'm preaching. And I'm preaching the truth. That there you can be saved and drift. You can drift far from God. You can sit on a church chair every Sunday evening, every Wednesday evening, and drift far from God. We understand this. And so if you're at the place in your life, verse number 13, to where you feel like, you know what, I've cleansed my heart in vain. I've washed my hands in innocency. All the day long I've been in plague. I feel like I'm chastened every morning. I can't say what I want to say because I'm afraid I'll offend people. And then here's verse number 16. When I thought to know this, it was too painful. My life has just become a pain. Sometimes I think about what if I wasn't living. It's just painful, day in and day out. Now, brother, that's where the devil can get you if you're not near to God. What I just read in your hearing can happen. This was a saved man who wrote this. We went through Asaph, remember? He was a seer. He was a prophet. He was the chief musician. He was David's right-hand man in the worship service. But I'm here to tell you, he got in a bad place. And he said, I just felt like that nothing was going right. You know, the old timers used to say, when it rains, it pours. And it just seemed like, he said, that I'm not enjoying this experience that is meant to be enjoyable. Can I tell you that a walk with God, fellowship with God, is meant to be an enjoyable experience. It doesn't mean there'll not be trouble. It doesn't mean there'll not be problems. It's just meant to be enjoyable. Amen. And yet, if we do not draw near and we allow ourselves to drift far, well, not so good things can happen. You say, well, that happens to lost people. Well, it did happen to Sodom. But I want to remind you that though Lot got out of Sodom, his life was ruined. Read his account. Lot made it out of Sodom. But boy, how his life was destroyed. And so, if you're here and you're far, I want to invite you to come near. Come near. I'm going to tell you how to do that in just a moment. Now I want you to look at verse 28. He said, they are far. But now he said in verse number 28, it is good for me, watch this now, not to be near, to draw near. To draw near. You see what he's saying? He said, I'm at a place where I can say God is good. I'm near. I see that God is good. I no longer doubt God's goodness. I no longer doubt God's character. He was doubting God's character. Read the psalm again. He was doubting God's character. He was doubting God's goodness. I just read you verse 13 through 16. He was doubting that. But he said, it's good for me to draw near. Yeah, I'm nearer than I was. I've made the turn. You see, I was drifting far, but I've made the turn, and now I'm drawing near. You see that, don't you? See, that has to happen in every person's life. If you have drifted far, at some point in that drifting, you have to make the turn and say, I'm going to draw near. That doesn't mean that it's one step and it's over. It's a progress. It's a continuation. You draw nearer and nearer and nearer. Isn't that what the songwriter said? Nearer to thee, my God. Right? Just near and near. And he said, it's good for me to be near unto God. Are you near to God? Now, you know the answer to that question. I don't have to come to you. You don't need a preacher to tell you if you're near to God or not. I don't know what's in your heart. You don't know what's in my heart, but God knows what's in all of our heart. He said, it's good for me to be near. What happened? God set us thinking straight, didn't he? Remember verse 17, look at it. He said, I didn't know until I went to the sanctuary of God. Then understood I therein. He said, I tell you, I got some understanding when I went to the sanctuary. Amen. Amen. Boy, I tell you, there's just something about God changing our thinking. That's called sanctuary thinking. That's right. Cubicle thinking. You look at the big picture. See, he just had part of the picture. But as you get closer to God, now hear me now, as you get near to God, God opens up things. God reveals the deep things, the secret things of God unto us. And he gives us a view of things through eternity's eyes, you see. With eternity's perspective and not temporal perspective. This man began to look in the now and now instead of in eternity's perspective. But when he went into the sanctuary, there's just something about you being right here where you are today that opens up an eternal perspective unto us. And so he got that sanctuary thinking. And he began to realize, I've been afar. I need to get near to God. And he said, it's good for me. Have you come to that place in your life? And all of you know, it's good for me. You say, well, you keep saying that. It's because I want you to get it. I don't want you to leave here without realizing that you can say with the psalmist, it's good for me to draw near to God. You believe that? What happens when you begin to draw near to God? Look at verse 28. You put your trust in the Lord God. You trust him. You no longer trust your feelings. You no longer trust your thoughts or you no longer trust your way, the world's way. You trust him. You see, as you draw near unto God, you begin to place your trust in him. God, you show me what you want. God, you show me the way. You teach me. We heard in Sunday school this morning, Pastor BJ done a tremendous job in Genesis 22, talking about Abraham offering up Isaac, we saw where Abraham, he placed his total faith in God. You know the account there. God asked Abraham to do a hard thing, and instead of Abraham thinking about the hard thing that he had to do, he thought about the promise of God. And he trusted God's promise, and that's how he was able to make it through that hard place in his life. He knew that God had promised a seed. And so he said, it's good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all thy works. I can say what I want to say now. Back in verse 15, he said, I can't say it. Look at it one more time now. Verse 15, he said, when I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When you're far from God, you just can't say some things. But I'm going to tell you what God will do when you get near to him. He'll open up your heart. He'll open up your eyes. He'll open up your lips. And you'll begin to declare, as this man said, all thy works. How will I know if I'm near or far? Well, I see two things here right off the bat, don't you? Did you see them? When you're near to God, you trust him. Trust in the Lord with all of thine heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. When you're near to God, you trust him and not you. You trust him and not school. You trust him and not work. You trust him and not worldly advice. You trust him. You don't go against what he said. You trust him. Is that right, church? See, when you're near to God, you trust him. When you're far from God, you trust about anything but him. And so I'll ask you again. Are you near to God or far from him? Who are you trusting? That'll help you answer that question. The second thing that he said here is, I may declare all of thy works. Whose works are you declaring? Your favorite sports team? Your favorite politician? By the way, vote Tuesday. That's right. Get out and vote. But I'm not going to vote. Well, at the very least you could do is cast your vote. Who are you trusting? Whose works are you declaring? Is it him? Is it the God of heaven? You see what we're being told here? Are you far from him or near to him? Which are you? Say, well, preacher, I'm near, but I'd like to get near. I'm far, but God has spoke to my heart this morning, and I want to get near, and I don't even know that I really know how to do that. Would you take your Bible and turn to James, and I'm going to close with this point. This will be our final point this morning. James chapter number 4. I hope that if you have something to write with and something to write on, in case you have a very short memory, and I'm going to doubt you if you're above 30. Amen. I want you to write some things down. I want you to take some personal inventory before we bring our message to a close here. James 4, look at verse number, we'll begin reading in verse number 7. James 4, verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Can I tell you, we've got a lot of people out here trying to resist the devil without following the first step. You have to submit to God before you resist the devil. And that's why a lot of Christians are defeated. We'll come back to that. Look at verse number 8. Draw nigh or near. This is draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Is this what our psalmist said? It's good for me to draw near to God. James said, draw near to God. You know what he said? James said, if you'll draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. How do you do that, preacher? How do you draw near to God? Now, I want you to think with me now. If the person next to you looks just the least bit groggy, I'm giving you permission to do that to him. No, I'm not. Don't do that. Hey, I want you to get this, okay? This is important stuff. We have a lot of people who know what they need to do. They even have the desire to do, but they don't know how to go about it. And so I want to make application here, okay? I want to give you some application. I don't want to just stand up here and tell you, draw near to God. I want to tell you how to do it biblically. Biblically, how do you draw near to God? Number one, I want you to write this down, prayer. And I'm putting this number one. You know why? Think now. I don't even mind if you answer out loud. What is prayer? Communication with God. It's you talking to God. That's prayer. Now, is there anyone in your life that you're close to that you don't talk to? I don't think so. As a matter of fact, you probably got close to them through conversation with them. Some way. You get close to people by conversing, by communicating with them. God, in His Word, has opened up so that we could enter into the throne room of His grace and let our petitions be made known unto Him. We are told over and over and over again, God is saying, hey, come talk to me. Come talk to me. Draw near to me, right? Come talk to me. Come. That's you taking the initiative. Come talk to me. Come pray to me. Talk to me. Tell me what you need. Tell me how you feel. Tell me. Come talk to me. So prayer. You ought to have a time every day in your life, at least one time that you pray. Now David said, evening, morning, and noon will I pray and cry aloud. But at least, now you said, well, the Bible says pray without ceasing. I believe that means you ought to be in the attitude and the place where you could pray at any moment, anytime, anything. Just like that. But at least there ought to be a time every day where you pray and say, now God, here I am. And I'm going to need you today. And I'm trusting you. I can't do this without you. I don't know what this day holds, but God, you do. And so I'm praying you would equip me. And you pray. Now, I don't think that should be all, but I think that's a good start. Pray. All right, did you write that down? Pray. I'm talking to you about how to draw near to God. The Bible said draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Now, we draw nigh to God, that this is one step. Now, what's the next thing? Read your Bible. See, that's God talking to you. See, when I pray, I talk to God. When I read my Bible, God speaks to me. Amen? You say, well, I speak to God when I'm reading my Bible through prayer, and you ought to. You ought to pray. Prayer and reading the Bible goes hand in hand. Prayer and the Word of God. Go through the Scripture and look at the many times that prayer and the Word of God are hand in hand. You know why? There's a conversation going on. You're praying, talking to God, and as you're reading, God's talking to you. There's good conversation there. So every day there ought to be a day. You say, I want to draw close to God. I'm telling you how to draw near unto God. The psalmist said, it is good for me to draw near to God. It is good for me to pray. It is good for me to read my Bible because these things help me to draw near to God. Number three, it is good for me to attend public worship service. It's good for me to do that. So that I can fellowship with the brethren. I can worship with my brethren. I can be ministered to in song. I can hear the teaching and the preaching of God's Word. I can train up my children under good Bible teaching and preaching, and my grandchildren. I can serve God with the ability in which He's given me. Listen, the list could go on and on of the benefits of belonging to and attending public places of worship. We're talking about drawing near to God. This is how you do it. It's not enough just for me to get up here and stomp my foot and say, draw near to God, and then say, all right, let's pray. I mean, come on. How do you do that, preacher? Well, the Bible tells us how. Look these scriptures up. Look at how many times God tells you to pray. Why do you think God's telling you to pray? He already knows what you're going to pray. But He wants you to draw near to Him. He wants to hear you. You need for Him to hear you. You need to talk to God. I need to talk to God. Amen, church. Amen. And we need to read our Bible. I need to hear God speak to me. And I need to be in public worship service. Number four, I'm only going to give you five things. Number four, meditate. And I'm going to put memorize. Meditate on God and memorize His Word. There will be a time in everyone's life every day, and I wish I could tell you there was in mine, and I can't. But more days than not, I meditate and I memorize. I memorize God's word and I meditate on who God is. I just get alone, I just think about who God is. And I'm going to tell you right now, I have come to the conclusion of what that young man and that young lady sang over there this morning. He's more than wonderful. God is awesome. Now we hear about people talking about, well, this is awesome, that's awesome. God is awesome. God has a monopoly on awesomeness. Amen. He does. He's awesome. And every day, you want to draw near to God? Just get alone and start thinking about who God is. Just think about who God is. Think about what you know about God. Think about it. Get in His Word and say, I'm going to hide your Word in my heart that I might not sin against you. God, I'm going to put your Word in my heart so that I can further and better meditate on who you are. The more you know about God, the more you can meditate on who He is. And then finally, number five, obedience. Obedience. Obey God. See, we're talking about drawing near to God. When I disobey God, sin separates us from God. You understand that. Sin moves us farther away from God. Obedience moves us closer to God. When we sin, it separates. It breaks fellowship. You can't get close to God through broken fellowship. And so when God gives you commandment, when God speaks to you, when God touches your heart about something, obey Him. Now there's five biblical ways to draw near to God. There's more, but work on those five. Would you do it? Would you commit in your heart? I can't do it for you. Listen, as I said, I have to take care of me. What did the psalmist say? As for me, he said, it's good that I draw near to God. I think our problem is that we're looking around saying, I know what's best for him. I know what's best for her. What about what's best for you? Amen. If we're not careful, we're like, well, would it be good for him to do this? It'd be good for him to do this. It'd be good for her to do this. What's good for you when it comes to God? I think that's a full-time job, don't you? Let us spend our time. God, now I'm not saying don't care about other people. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying, make that the primary purpose. God, it's good for me to draw near. How am I going to be able to declare all thy works? How am I going to be able to trust you? How am I going to be able to minister to anyone else if I'm not focused on me drawing near to you? I can't help anyone else. So I close the way I began. Let's stand to our feet. Are you near or far from God? Now only you know. I don't know what's in your heart. I don't. But now you do. Let's bow our heads together. I want to ask you a question. Do you care?